Wanderer's Rest, Biography of August Pieper, by Pastor Thomas Jeske. Prepared and presented as a part of the Lyceum series celebrating the 150th anniversary of Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary.
Geography. Who was August Pieper? His people came from the northern rim of Europe, out of a small village named Karwitz, 7 miles from the sea. The Kingdom of Prussia is long gone, but you can get an idea from a map by finding the long border between Germany and Poland. Can you locate the Baltic Sea? Karwitz is 85 miles west of Gdansk, Danzig. August was born right there, about midway through the 19th century, actually 1857. Ancestry. Who was August Pieper? He was given his father's name. More than a few soldiers and officers in the famous and feared Prussian army carried that same name. Corporal August Pieper grew tired of the militaristic mindset and life. He resigned his commission. He met a girl, Bertha Loaf, and her sister had been orphaned and raised with cousins in the home of an uncle. These young ladies received in that home the gift of a beautiful and strong faith in the Lord Jesus. Bertha brought it into a marriage with August Bernhard Pieper, to be the father. In time, her, quote, greatly exacting, conscientious, and respected husband became mayor of his village. This ex-soldier desired peace and order so much and opposed quarrels, even private ones, so much that he could not commit to, this is August's quote, the old, sturdy, but infinitely tender Lutheranism of the Reformation. He wanted his children, August Bernhard, he wanted his children to be highly educated citizens, but he was content to let his wife be the spiritual leader of their home. And what a busy home it was. God gave these parents 2 daughters and 6 sons. Little August came in the second wave of boys. Many years later, he spoke glowingly of a big sister, Wilhelmina. After Mina came all those sons. Okay, now there's 6 of them, and anywhere you read about this guy, you're only going to hear about 4. 6. Julius, Reinhold, Franz, Karl, August, and Anton. So 2 waves of boys. Tragedy. Who is August Pieper? Picture a row of children. They're sitting in church. At the front of the church is a pastor. Between the pastor and the family lies the still body of the children's father. He has been killed. What an irony. This man who left a career in the army, now struck down somehow by a troublemaker in the village. To die doing one's duty. What a powerful, painful picture for an 11-year-old boy to carry in his heart. His mind, heart, and will. My father. You know, some people say that if a boy loses his dad to a divorce, somewhere between 8 and 12 years old, that's the worst time it can happen. Something about the developing self-awareness, how to be a man, how to understand what strength is, whether you buy that or not from a psychology point of view. Here was a little boy who lost his dad at age 11. My father, And what is to become of our family of 10 now? Somewhere around this time, the two oldest sons disappear from Karwitz and reappear in the new world. Wilhelmina, like her mother, married an ex-soldier and left the house. Back in the village, Mrs. Pieper is 50 years old. Her strong and noble Prussian man is in the ground, a new widow with a fragmenting family. Odyssey. Who was August Pieper? Mother had made a decision. Bertha and four sons sailed from Schweinemunde. You know what that means? I thought, why would they name it Schweinemunde? Big mouth, you know? Well, until it's a harbor that's shaped like the mouth of a pig. So there you go. They sailed from Schweinemunde on a paddle-wheeled steamboat. They stopped in Copenhagen to take on passengers. Racially sparked fights forced the crew to patrol the decks with loaded revolvers and drawn swords. How about that for being 11 years old and your ship is being patrolled by armed soldiers? Wow. The Ocean Queen moved up the inside passage to dock one last time at Kristiansand on the bottom edge of Norway. Then land fell away. Violence on board was nothing compared to the violence of the North Atlantic in late winter. Far from port, the craft, loaded with 800 passengers, repeatedly lifted her bow and slammed down. One of her great side wheels broke on its shaft. The stricken vessel lumbered through the heavy seas. It moved in circles like a wounded animal. Four boys and their mother had to wonder, surely God had not brought us into the dark ocean to abandon them there, to abandon us there? Or was it that Satan could see what lay ahead for his kingdom at the hand of this little family? The Ocean Queen limped into New York Harbor in early spring of 1870. She had been on the high seas for a month. A month. You take a long plane flight today, you know, go to Australia, or what is it, 24 hours? Somebody tell me. Maybe no. A month. No Statue of Liberty yet stood on Ellis Island. There was a Missouri Synod mission near the docks that welcomed and helped people like wrung-out Mother Pieper and her boys, Franz, 18 years old, Carl, 15, August, 12, and Anton, 10. No Statue of Liberty. Literacy. A boy looks out of a train window. The Pennsylvania Railroad would have taken them west to Chicago. The Milwaukee and St. Paul Railroad, north. Widow Pieper had a relative, a Lutheran teacher in Jefferson County, Wisconsin. She wanted her sons to continue their educations to the highest levels. Franz had already won spectacular honors in Germany. Bertha's boys entered Wisconsin Synod schools. Here August would be confirmed. Mrs. Pieper found employment as a sort of housekeeper for a fledgling school, opened during the last year of the Civil War, called Northwestern University. The family lived near the Rock River Bridge on the north side of Watertown. Has anybody in here ever seen the house in Watertown that's still standing, that has a historical plaque on the wall? But you can't see it from the street. At least you couldn't. The last time I looked, it was hidden behind a cedar. It's a little brick house on North 4th Street. Am I right on the directions? North, heading north out of Watertown by the river. It's there. A bit later, the Missouri and Wisconsin synods agreed to share a seminary program. August would follow big brother Franz down to St. Louis. In the bustling river town, they each saw the new campus of Concordia Seminary. Here they each studied under Dr. C.F.W. Walther himself. Here they would have heard him lecture on the proper distinction between law and gospel, on Kirche und Amt. The great man even asked August to proofread Latin, German, Hebrew, and Greek for his dogmatics textbook. I remember when I had to do, no, I'm just kidding. I was going to say, I remember when I was asked to proofread my professor's dogmatics textbook. It was a joke. But early on, the head of the booming Missouri Synod had his eye on August's brother as a future faculty member and as much more. Deftly. August was an athlete. He loved to be out of doors. In Germany, he had learned to fish in a pond behind the mill where Julius, number one brother, was apprentice. But in America, August learned to play baseball, and August especially loved to pitch. One hot afternoon, he and classmates played, and they were thirsty. Next to a nearby building was a barrel that collected rainwater. They drank their fill and were refreshed. Who was August Pieper? He was a young man who was cut down at the peak of his strength for typhus, struck the ball players. T-Y-P-H-U-S, typhus. Symptoms of this rodent and flea-borne sickness include a high fever, about 105, headaches, nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, coughing, and pain in the abdomen, joints, and back. A spreading rash may cover the entire body, except the palms of the hands and the bottoms of the feet. Patients may develop additional symptoms, bleeding into the skin, delirium, stupor, hypotension, and shock, which can cause death. August was in a coma. He was in a coma for weeks. Weeks. Once he heard a doctor in the room say that his chances of living were almost zero. He later recalled that the words fell on him like a death sentence. Maybe just something to remember, man, when you're in a hospital room and someone says that the patient is deep down in a drug-induced coma or in a sickness, there's no response of any kind. Be so circumspect in what you say, because you wouldn't be the first, just the latest, to have someone say to you later, "Pastor, I heard your voice when you came in. I heard what you said." There's a hospital in Omaha, and inside of every elevator, there's a little brass plaque up at the top. Now, I don't think the Latin is correct, but it says Semper Discretus, D-I-S-C-R-E-T-U-S. You know, always discretion, always be discreet. Wouldn't that have to be ablative or something? We got a Latin guy here? Semper Discretus. You know, it meant for the medical staff. I mean, the people who come in aren't going to read that. They're not going to know what it says, but it's in every elevator in that hospital. Semper Discretus. Watch your tongue. August was in a coma for weeks. He later recalled that the words fell on him like a death sentence. Another time, he was aware of a professor's voice praying Psalm 23. A man was embracing him with both arms. This boy who hung by a thread between life and death, whose own father was torn out of his life when he was only 11, now felt a man of God take his weak hand, stroke his tear-stained cheeks, and speak Psalm 118, verse 17, over the miserable sickbed, "I will not die, but live, and will proclaim what the Lord has done." August did live. He would proclaim. Ministry. What a chapter of life for Mrs. Pieper and her boys since leaving home. Julius, trained in Germany as a miller, settled in Clinton, Iowa, south of Dubuque, on the Big River. Now, this is going to be the last mention of Julius, but I just got to put in a little thing here. I think I am the man, because I found I contacted the Missouri Synod Churches in Dubuque and in Clinton and asked them if they had any record of Julius. And one of them, they both were very helpful. One of them said, we had a fire that burned up a lot of our records. The other one helped me find his grave. Clinton, Iowa is on the Mississippi. It was a milling center, and not just for wheat, but for logs, which came down from Wisconsin. So I'm sure it was the same guy, because the records of his children say he had a son named Franz and a daughter named Berta. So I think I found it. Reinhold, trained as a botanist, became a pastor in the Missouri Synod. Franz had been called into the public ministry of the Wisconsin Synod. It wasn't long before Concordia Seminary came knocking. Their first call, Franz declined. Shortly thereafter, the call came back. Dr. Walther got his man. Carl didn't like book learning. He too moved to Iowa. First, he worked as a salesman. He sold musical organs, keyboards, like parlor organs. A salesman, imagine that. And then he later homesteaded some land with 20 head of cattle. August spent a summer out there one time. August trained in Wisconsin Synod schools like his well-known brother, 6 years his senior. Also took a call into the parish ministry. Little brother Anton, too, became a Wisconsin Synod pastor. August served in northern Wisconsin. After some years near Lake Michigan, Pastor Pieper took a call to far western Wisconsin. He describes these 5 years as severe strain. How about that? Severe strain. Tell me about your ministry, Pastor. Severe strain. Imagine the fear of a young pastor in a rich and rewarding life among a busy congregation who finds he's losing his voice. That's what was happening. He was losing his voice. God, what the heck, you know? I'm a pastor. Gotta have a voice. What are you doing to me? What good is a shepherd who can't speak? Finally, his voice completely gone, the man packed up and left for Texas and its different climate. August Pieper was a doubting young man asking the question, will I ever preach again? Matrimony, this is cool. Who was August Pieper? He was a husband and a father. He met a certain Emma Koenig in St. Louis. She was the sister of the wife of Concordia professor George Steckhardt. So he married the sister of George Steckhardt. August and Emma were married in 1881. God would garland their home with children, Magdalena, Margaret, Gertrude, Gerhardt, Paul, Lydia, and Ruth. The sons would one day follow their father into the pastoral ministry. Just last night, I read a letter, a personal handwritten letter from an old guy in Germany. And he said the Piepers, August and his wife Emma, also had an orphan that they took into their home. One of these little pieces of a mosaic to try to understand a person. He took in an orphan. August's mother, Berta, had been an orphan. Faculty. It was given to August to return to parish ministry. The growing Pieper family spent more than a decade in Milwaukee. A call to the seminary came in 1902. The school was in a part of Milwaukee named Wauwatosa. Here, August would be reunited with Watertown and St. Louis classmate John Philip Kaler. Of all the things that could be said about John Philip Kaler, I'm just going to say one. There is a picture of him in the SEM pictures where he's wearing like a military uniform. Who has seen that? It's got double brass buttons going down the front of it. You know, kind of. And somewhere I read that in Watertown, he had a militia that he drilled. Boy. You ever feel like you didn't do anything in your whole life? John Schaller would join the faculty a few years later. His three-man team taught in the classroom from a position some named the Wauwatosa Theology. I don't believe they ever called it that. And some people react kind of angrily to that. One guy just lashed into me at one time within the last 5 years, and he said, you know, who do you think you guys are? Be careful, I guess, about the phrases and the way that we talk. This point of view stressed what is called the historical grammatical approach to Scripture. Now, for the guys in the tinsel or Christmas cookie groups, I think this is the most important paragraph in the biography. Okay, so here we go. Elbow the guy next to you if he's drooling on his shirt right now. Wake him up. The historical grammatical approach to Scripture. By way of contrast, Haler and Pieper had been thoroughly drilled by Dr. Walther in a dogmatics-heavy curriculum. A proof passage approach to the truths and struggles of the Christian faith. Haler and Pieper thanked God for it, yet the Wisconsin men had come to realize that the American Lutheran religious landscape had changed. They remembered from St. Louis an absence of Hebrew and Greek text study through any entire Bible book. The talented Wisconsin teachers determined to bring the historical and original language context of Bible books to a place of prominence. They wanted pastors to think, how does this specific verse fit into its paragraph? The paragraph into the chapter. How does the chapter fit into the author's line of thought for the entire book? How does this book fit into the Old or the New Testament? How is the Holy Spirit pointing it all to Christ? This is about Christ. Somehow this is about Christ. Either he's protecting his people so he can keep his promises, pointing forward to him, or it's pointing back to him. Scholarly. A torrent of articles came from the pens of Kaler, Pieper, and Schaller. Differences in their temperaments and differences in their classroom approaches did not impede a phenomenal number of essays in Quartalschrift, the theological journal of the Wisconsin Synod. Professor Pieper alone wrote more than 100 professional papers. Question. August was gifted but not diligent. 100 professional papers. I tipped you off to the answer. Okay. He became a popular preacher for congregations, festivals, conferences, and district conventions of his church body, frequently asked for his intense, emotional, moving presentations on a Bible text or topic. A gift Pieper possessed was his ability to move easily between the Old Testament and the New without a drop-off in scholarship. Professors Kaler and Pieper worked with others to open an area Lutheran high school in Milwaukee. How about that? He wrote a commentary on the book of Isaiah, the prophet who had said about Jesus, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows." A well-known modern Bible scholar writes on the dedication page of his popular three-volume Isaiah commentary to the effect that August Pieper had a greater grasp on the line of thought of the book of Isaiah than any other source he has found. Controversy. Okay, this is a A little spoiler here. This is breathtaking in how it skims over, water skis over the issue. You could hardly say less about it than what I'm going to say. Controversy. Professors Kaler and Pieper were gifted and even brilliant Christian men. Back in the Watertown days of the 1870s, they had been schoolmates and teammates. Now they found it increasingly difficult to work together. How is that possible? Come on, brothers. Come on. How is that possible? They found it increasingly difficult to work together. To many looking on, these bigger-than-life personalities seem to irritate, provoke, question, and undermine one another. This festering wound broke open under the pressures of church life. Painful separations took place, followed by protests from people, pastors, and congregations, while Franz Pieper's Missouri Synod was the gold standard of Lutheranism. The Protestant controversy in the 1920s rattled relationships through the small Wisconsin Synod. Last page. The Wisconsin Synod's seminary moved north from Wauwatosa to semi-rural Thiensville. Picture a castle with green slate roofs on the top of a hill. Professor and Mrs. Pieper were to be the first residents of 11805 North Seminary Drive. A grandchild remembers the seminary family, not just the Pieper family, but the seminary family, traveling to David Starr Lutheran Church in Kirchheim to dig trees out of the woods to plant on this 80 acres. The enormous Norway spruce that lined the dormitory parking lot were planted at that time. By the way, when I was living here, one of those big trees came down. I don't know if the wind knocked it over, if it got diseased, but it fell down, and they had it lying there on the ground, and I went over with a magnifying glass, and I counted the rings in that tree, and it exactly equaled the dates of those trees being planted in 1929 or 1930. Silent protest by a portion of the group. Okay. All right. Sadness, fear, strange. Never strangers to this man, they now seemed to shadow him. He had already stood at the grave of a child in the 1920s, but a heavy blow fell here when his Emma died. So she never got into 11805 North Seminary Drive. After all the painful pruning and shaping, the Lord of the Church had one more role for August Pieper. The widower would serve as seminary, do we say director or president? Director from 1929 to 1937. Longevity. Who is August Pieper? What kind of a will does it require to serve 64 years in the ministry? 64 years in the ministry. I'm just hitting 30 years in it, and I thought I'm about washed up. You know, I haven't even made it to half the length of the time he served in the public ministry. 64 years. Man, he was one of an immigrant widow's three sons who would serve as Lutheran seminary presidents. Okay, four sons in the ministry, three of them seminary presidents, my brothers, they were immigrants. Think about it. When you work with the one person, when you work with one mixed race. Did anybody see the latest National Geographic at the changing face of America? All the blending and all the racial stewpot. It was an immigrant family. These were siblings who might have been emotionally crippled after the killing of their father. They might have drowned in the raging North Atlantic. August could have been smothered by the rainwater-induced coma in St. Louis. A young pastor's career might easily have been snipped off during the silent retreat to Texas. He might have lost his will for any more battle when Emma left him for her new country in 1930. Legacy, last paragraph. How fitting that August Otto Wilhelm Pieper was buried on a day of inclement weather. The 89-year-old's funeral took place during Christmas week, 1946. Over 500 students had come through the seminary while he was a teacher. One obituary mentions, quote, in spite of treacherous roads, a goodly number of his former students were present to do homage to the memory of their professor. How fitting that there were two sermons, one from the Old Testament, I look for your deliverance, O Lord, Genesis 49, one from the New Testament, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, Luke 2. One sermon was heard in German, one in English. One was spoken by a professor, one by a pastor. Who was August Pieper? Should someone wish to get to know him through his own words, these are some writings from his own hand that will help to start that journey. Now, young brothers, a guy writes 100 professional papers, you are not going to be able to grasp the length and breadth of his work, likely. What do you do? Where do you go? This is my two cents. Professor Sorum told me that he provided links to these four papers, and here they are. The Judgment of God on the Ungodly, according to Romans 1, 18 to 32. You don't read any other thing that he ever wrote. I would say, read the first page of that paper. Holy smokes. Talk about the law cracking like a bullwhip over your head. It just puts me to shame for the way I preach. Luther's teaching of the Christian priesthood. This is interesting because he says, Walther said that the essence of the Lutheran Church is the priesthood of every believer. Three, the book of Job and its significance for preaching in the care of souls. And four, the despising of grace is the death of the church. That was 1917. He wrote it on the anniversary of 1517. Wow, there they are. He awaits the resurrection. August Pieper awaits the resurrection from a cemetery named Wanderer's Rest.